when we obviate that, when we exclude deliberately, we are committing treasonous acts on two fronts. We violate journalistic ethics, and we commit that white supremacist act of cultural imperialism, intellectual imperialism. That's no good. That's number one. We should be committed to that. Two, we should be committed to ascertaining, not supposing and not guessing and not deciding unilaterally. We should be committed to ascertaining the informational needs that exist. For a long time, we have presumed that we knew, and we presumed wrong in some instances. But we have to be committed to ascertaining that. Why? Because you are likely to learn a thing or two. Some folks don't believe that they have anything to learn at all, that they already know everything. I don't suppose that. I think we need to take some instruction from the communities that are most oppressed. We need to find links with those communities, genuine links, organic links with those communities, and to ascertain their informational needs. We need to recognize that the demography, the demography of the city of New York has changed, and changed dramatically. And if we are to be anything, it is that we are to keep pace with the changes around us.
Not only the demography of the city of New York, but WBAI, and you have been saying this to me almost every week since I've been here, that we need to be a little more expansive in our view, because
that's
it's
right.
Not only the city of New York. We've been receiving calls. I have received calls here from many of our most frequent callers. And as you know, callers tend to represent only a small percentage of the people who actually listen. But many of our callers are from parts of New Jersey, parts of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I've received calls here from Pennsylvania, way upstate New York.
Sure.
So that demographic
and
reality. And around the country.
Yes, because we are streamed in. The thing is that we have to understand that the world has changed. A lot of folks decided that we will be this. Well, you can't decide that we will be this if you have not invested an iota of effort into scientifically ascertaining who is listening. I mean, a simple thing like that.
Are we doing that now? Yes. Have we done that?
Yes, we're doing that now.
Okay.
I mean, it's quiet work. It's grungy work. It's the kind of work that doesn't get media attention. And I'm not interested in media attention. I'm interested in getting work done. And therefore, the best way, there's nothing more dangerous than an ignorant soldier, an ignorant activist. There's nothing more dangerous than that. Somebody armed with a lethal weapon and is running around shooting just about anything, calling it a target. No. You have to be far more methodical, far more mature in the way we do things. And for a lot of folks, I mean, this is a revelation, too, because the mode of conduct has been such that there's a cultural issue to be addressed. Some people have come out of cultures where, you know, a great deal more permissiveness prevails. I come out of a different culture in which structure is important. You have to have some degree of order if things are going to work properly. And I'm accustomed to understanding that I report to somebody, and that person reports to somebody, and that person reports to somebody. I understand all of that because I come out of that kind of a cultural environment. So it is not oppressive to me that in the workplace we should have order. That is not a form of oppression to me. That is just logic to me. This does not mean that, you know, when some people think that, well, gee, when we have order, it is tantamount to oppression. Well, you know, for some people, chaos is good. It is not for me. It's not something that works for the rest of us. Most of us appreciate having some kind of order. We do. We are mature. And in our own personal lives, we appreciate order because it allows us to be far more productive. Some of us don't scream a lot, but we get work done because the work we have to do is quiet, grungy work. Roll up your sleeves and get into the mess of it work. Tiresome, tedious work. Because we are cleanup. We are a cleanup crew. And cleanup crews never look pretty.
Do you think of WBAI? Well, I've got a two-part question, really. One, are there some things that we can learn or borrow from commercial radio without losing our identity, whatever that identity is, here at WBAI? And the second thing is, do you have in mind a mission for this radio station that differs in any way from that which you inherited?
Yes. Let me answer the last
question.
On
both or?
Yes, on both.
Okay.
The mission issue is very important. As I said to you yesterday...
We have 3 minutes back. No, 2 minutes, because...
The mission has already been articulated by the executive director, Bessie Wash. And it's a very progressive mission and something that is quite confluent with my own views and with the views of most of us here. But apart from that, we inherited a mission statement that was, in fact, I had the privilege of typing it up and putting it in writing. And that was Samori Marksman's mission. He was very clear. It's a 4-point plan. Very simple. 4 points. And quite achievable. And I doubt that anybody has bothered to dust off that template and take a look at it. It is a workable plan, and we are going to use that. These two things together, these two templates, I'm proud to say, are very, very achievable. And along with that, we can put our own bit of spices in there and season up the pot a bit, having to do with really ascertaining what the informational needs are on a scientific basis, not by listening to people who are screaming the loudest and yelping. That is not sound planning. You're just screaming and carrying on. I'm talking about adopting a very scientific way of doing things, and it therefore leads us to do far more logical things.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you about the first one.
Right.
Are there any things that we can learn or borrow from commercial
yes.
radio without
yes.
Losing our identity
Absolutely.
As a listener-sponsored, not-for-profit
sure.
Community radio station?
There are things that we can learn from commercial radio.
Such as?
Well, for one thing, I think the discipline of the work, the discipline of the day. That's a very important issue to learn, a disciplined way of working. In commercial radio, when you do certain things, you are not allowed a second chance. Because if you do not value what you do, there are 50 million other people waiting right outside the door to do that. So the commercial world does not have a great tolerance level for people who are inefficient or people who are just underperforming. That's one thing, the disciplined way of working and the disciplined sound that you get. Now, we're not talking about content. I'm talking about when it's 3 o'clock on the nose, you get the news. When it's 6 o'clock on the nose, you get the news. That's a disciplined way of working.
By the way, at 4 o'clock today, we had a station ident.
That's very good.
Okay.
Very good. That's what I mean. We have to develop a disciplined way of working. It's very important. It's very, very important. Number two, I think a thing we can borrow from the commercial world is this notion of constant growth. You have to grow. It is important to grow. We have not grown at all. I was just looking at the figures in the last 7 years. We haven't. And that says that no matter what it is we think we're doing in terms of great programming, we have also been far too content to be talking to ourselves. And that suggests a couple of things we have to do. We have to, again, understand the audience or the audiences that are out there. We have to really tie into their informational needs, and we have to be competitive in the sense that we must go after. I want to grab every possible listener that we can get. Go out there and grab them. Now, what do you grab them with? What do you grab them with? That's the big question. And how do we ascertain from them that once we grab them, we'll keep them? We also have another mission. And this is the downside to the commercial world that we have been practicing for a long time, and that is we have lost audience. And we apparently don't care to go find them and bring them back. We have to find those people we lost, find why it is we lost them, find how to bring them back. And I'm not just talking about the last couple of months. I'm talking the last several years we've been losing audience. We have to find out who they are, why are they no longer with us, and how do we get them back. The audience that we have to kiss them, romance them, woo them, and keep them as our constant companion.
Careful there.
Yes, I don't
Careful
mind.
There.
That's right. We have to say we love you and show it in our programming and in the elevation of our programming and the content. We have to do that. We have to respect their brains because they have them. And then there's a group that we should have, but we do not now have. And we have to find ways to go out there and, again, show them that this station must be a seminal reference point in their daily lives. The onus is on us. The audience is marvelous. They are phenomenal people. It is we who have been underperforming. And here is where the issue always has been. It is not about the national board. It is not about any individual. It is about the inability internally to manage ourselves properly, to control ourselves effectively, and to do damn good radio consistently.
Well, we're going to do some damn good radio consistently right here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I am Hugh Hamilton, and you're listening to Talk Back, a gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 on the nose until 5. Well, not quite on the nose, because we have to be out of here at 5 minutes before 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Okay, good. And from Monday through Thursday, and of course, Earl Caldwell is here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Fridays. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Maria England is our engineer this afternoon. Utrice C. Lead, who is also our general manager, is my guest in studio. It is now 15 minutes after 4 o'clock. We'll take a break and return to your telephone calls now for Utrice Lead on the question of understanding media at 212-209-2900.
Little, 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 little build your penitentiary. We build your school. Brainwash education to make us the fools. It's a due reward for our love. Telling us of the God above. We're gonna chase those crazy. Chase those crazy bumpers. Chase those crazy bullets out of a yarn.
Unmistakable music of Bob Marley here at WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Hugh Hamilton. It's 18 minutes now after 4 o'clock. And we go now to your telephone calls for Utrecht Lead at 212-209-2900. She's my guest in studio this afternoon. The second day in a series of conversations we're having under the issue of understanding. No, what am I saying? The battle for the mind. Yeah, what am I saying? The battle for the mind. And this afternoon, our focus is understanding media. Good afternoon. You are on the air. Hello. Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Martine from Manhattan.
How do you do?
Fine, thanks.
Okay, great. Talk to me.
Congratulations on the title change. She's no longer interim, but
okay, good.
And I love all the new discipline and control, and I love all the, you know, when she screams, I love it. It just gets me hot, and I love the...
Oh, good.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so what's your question?
No, but
when is she going to resign? The obvious.
Okay, that's your question. Thanks, Martine. Okay,
thanks.
Martine hung up.
Confused. I think she was trying to call the Howard Stern show. Wrong station.
Wrong station.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, you.
Hi.
How you doing, you?
I'm very well, thank you. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Boricua from Newark.
Boricua from Newark. Yes, Boricua.
I just want to say that Mrs. Lee is a magnificent woman. She's courageous. She's talented. She's a very intellectual person, and I'm proud that she's on the staff. He's the leader of WBAI as far as management's concerned. As far as I'm concerned, if it weren't for women, us men would not be able to succeed, because it's with good women and smart women that we succeed.
Okay, Doriqua, that's a very nice thing to say, but do you have a question or a
succinct
comment? I mean, thank you very much, but yes. Do you have a question, sir?
My question is that I'm happy that she's there, and that I would like to give her a hug over the air.
Muchísimas gracias.
Okay, and that's about it. Peace.
Gracias.
Thank you very much, Doriqua. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air with Utrecht Lead.
Good day. Good day.
Hello.
That guy said what I was going to say.
And to whom am I speaking, sir?
To Rod from the Bronx.
Ron or Ron?
Ron.
Ron from the Bronx. Yes,
my
Ron.
My sentiments exactly to both of you. Now, Miss Lee.
Yes, sir.
The incident at, when you spoke about the incident at Windows on the World.
Yes.
I watched Guess Who's Coming to Dinner for the first time in its entirety the other day.
Uh-huh.
And the scene that the maid
Oh, Lord, all hell done broke loose now.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I don't know if she won any awards for that, but it said much to what we were talking, what Amos Wilson was talking about.
That's correct.
And now the thing is, what do we do with folks who are locked into that frame of thinking? Do we just leave them alone, or is there any? And just your opinion. What do we do? Because there are millions of us who are locked into that frame of mind.
Well, what did Carter G. Woodson say?
I'm not sure.
Carter G. Woodson said that if someone is trained always to go through the back door,
mm-hmm.
even if there is no back door,
mm-hmm.
he'll create one.
Oh.
It's about conditioning.
Oh.
And it's an age-old concept. We are not really encountering anything new.
Mm-hmm.
We are simply in the continuum of struggle,
mm-hmm.
and our struggle has remained remarkably the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whether 400 to 500 years ago, the struggle is the same today.
Yes, it is.
It's
yes,
exactly
it is.
The same.
Yes,
I had a former state senator come by one day, just drop by to see me,
mm-hmm.
and say to me, I don't even have to ask you what's going on. I want to tell you that I know what's going on, because when I was in the state senate, that's what it is I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. So it's just a continuum. I think people have, when I was doing this program, we dealt with this quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to be dealt with. It's a permanent thread in the fabric of American life, I'm sorry to say. But we cannot assume responsibility constantly for rehabilitating people.
Yes.
I reject that.
Yes.
So you just proceed.
Yes. Now, one more question. Now, my soulmate pledged on the Marjorie Moore morning show.
Yes.
For one of the packages. And she worked out. We're waiting for the invoice. And
okay.
I was wondering,
Well, just call the premiums department. That will be taken
care
of.
Okay, what is that number?
That's 209-2800.
Okay,
that's the switchboard. Anytime from 9 until 5 in the afternoon, 212-209-2800. Ask for premiums. They'll switch you there, and we'll take care of that
and
piece of business for you.
I'm especially thrilled that you want an invoice.
Yes.
You have no idea how wonderful that is.
Yes. And also,
yeah.
Mr. Hamilton,
you would like to be billed. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, sir.
Your program, when it's applicable, it's mandatory for my 8-year young daughter when she gets home from school.
Oh, wonderful.
To listen to.
Well, I thank you very much, sir. I'm honored. Thanks a lot.
Have a blessed life.
Okay, you too. Take care. 24 after 4 o'clock, now 25 after. And good afternoon. You're on with Utrecht Lead. This afternoon's program of Talk Back, we're talking about understanding media. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you.
And Utrecht?
Your name is?
Aaliyah.
I knew this.
Oh,
voice.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, well, that's me.
How are you?
I'm struggling, and I'm still waiting for my invoice too.
Oh.
But I did want to ask you a very specific question.
Yes.
When you were working at the City Sun, I visited to suggest the collaboration of media with the educational community, especially younger people,
mm-hmm.
and students in colleges. There are several venues for collaboration that I can see. I was wondering whether or not you had thought about some training institute to familiarize young people with political and social issues in the community, and to develop an alliance with other media outlets in order to forge this alliance.
Well, in fact, on my own, I do quite a bit of that with community-based groups. But here at WBAI, we are getting, through the operations department, we are formalizing training sessions that are going on right now. Carletta Joy Walker is doing something called Jeter's Leaders, and it's a fantastic group of young people, and they put on a program every week here. I do know that Marjorie Moore works with young people. Brother Shine works with young people. And we are emphasizing bringing in some new iron-rich blood. We are getting a little anemic here.
Okay. Okay.
So we have to also be prepared. This is the thing I said. We cannot have people who are coming into an unstructured system.
Right.
We have to have a syllabus. I'm very much about syllabus and a method of training so that we can systematically take people through the whole realm of training. And this is new. I mean, the whole idea of getting people to think in terms of providing structured instruction
right.
for others. So we're moving in that direction. It's coming along quite
nicely.
All
right, great. And I just want to say one other thing. I have a daughter in Atlanta who is bilingual. And
what's her other language?
Spanish.
Ah.
Uh-huh. And she's interested in getting in touch with you. Her husband is interested in radio and media. So I want her to specifically speak to you because I've told her often about you. And, you know, you can let me know how that can be arranged.
Or just give me a call.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much,
You're
Aaliyah.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. 27 after 4, this is Talk Back, and you are on the air with Utrecht Lead, Understanding Media.
Hey, how you doing, Professor Utrecht? How's
Hello.
Everything? It's, you know, I'm just a little excited talking with you, you know what I mean?
All right. And your name is?
And Hugh, Brother Hugh, how you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you, sir.
This is Seldom, you know.
Sheldon.
Seldom.
Seldom.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yes, sir.
You know, I hear a lot of times that, you know, I'm in my 20s and I'm a rapper, you know, and I know a lot of times this is probably new to you guys, you know, a rapper listening to you guys, you know, a progressive station getting deep like this, you know what I mean? And thing is that, you know, I'm listening to, you know, as far as the media keep pushing these, you know, cats on me, you know, like that I'm not really feeling. You know, talking about I need a leader and I need to be led, and I'm tripping off of it, you know, because it's like, how, you know, where they leading me to? When I look on the TV, I just see people walking around with signs, marching in circles, you know, like a dog chasing his tail, and I'm saying, you know, who's that really, you know, who's really feeling that? What type of impact is that having, you know?
Well, let me ask you, who is your leader?
You.
Wrong answer.
You.
Wrong answer.
I'm saying when my older brother told me this, I should listen to this station, listening to you, you know.
No, the point is.
And then you had left off the air, and
yeah.
I was like, yo, man, you know. And so he started hitting me with books with, you know, Angela Davis. I even read that Sada Shakur book, you know.
That's
what I'm
true.
Saying?
And but you know, like, what you need to do? The reason I asked you that question is that
because you don't have no hidden agenda. You're not running for nothing, and you're not, you know what I'm saying? And you're not telling me that I should come out and just walk around somebody's building so they have problems coming and going from work all day, you know? And I'm like, you know, what's that going to do? You know, somebody marching in front of my house. My brother's telling me, yo, boycott is the thing. Boycott. Hit them in the pockets. And because marching in front of somebody's house, you know, that's all good for television. That's all good for the movie of the week. But, you know, it's like, yo, you know, I like Marcus Garvey.
Okay,
know,
Seldom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. I just have to let you know that I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to frame your question because we've got a full board and we have to move on, and we do appreciate the call. So go for it. Your question for Utrecht Lead.
How do you feel like, you know, I heard you talking about Amos Wilson, you know,
mm-hmm.
I picked up, my brother got the books. I think he got it from you guys, right?
Yes.
Boom. How do you feel about, like, Marcus Garvey instead of, you know, as opposed to King and, you know, somebody that, because a lot
everybody,
of times...
Everybody has something to contribute, and this is the whole thing. Don't think of, what do you feel about this one as opposed to that one. The idea is that, especially in the African community, we have had an extraordinary blessing in that we have had visionaries who have put in writing what their vision is, what the sum total of their experience and thinking was. So we have it as a reference, and that is a blessing. So get acquainted with it. The thing is that you have to read a lot of Garvey. There's a lot of Garvey to read. There's a lot of Amos Wilson to read and to listen to. Reading one book, in fact, that last book, Blueprint for Black Power, is almost 900 pages. It's not an easy read. It is meant as a template of instruction. So I would suggest to you, and it's something I hope you take to heart, and that is to just continue immersing yourself in the broad range of subject matter that is out there for us all to use as reference points. And thank you so much for... And in terms of being a leader, the answer is you are the best leader you will ever find.
Thanks a lot, Seldom. 32 after the hour, 99.5 FM, WBAI, and you are on the air with Utrecht Lead, Understanding Media.
Good afternoon. This is Chris from Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, Chris.
I heard Paul DiRienzo last week say that listener contributions were not necessary to keep WBAI on the air because they made enough money renting out their subcarrier signals to other entities in order to keep the station going. And that's not what I understood from listening to Marathon. So I'd like to know what is the case. Are listener contributions necessary, and was Mr. DiRienzo wrong when he said they weren't?
Okay, first of all, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Just let me say this. We're not addressing the those issues this afternoon, the question of whether the station sublease any part of its signal strength. However, what I would also say to you is, for a more precise and a more elaborate understanding of how we are funded, and by the way, listener support is absolutely necessary.
Well,
somewhere, and hold on, somewhere in the vicinity of about 85% at least of what it takes to run this registration comes directly from listeners. But for a more elaborate understanding of exactly how our structure is, you need to call 212-209-2800.
Well, this That's is a question about understanding media.
I'm trying
to understand how this particular media works. Direct contradiction to what Paul DiRienzo, a member of your staff, said the other night.
Okay, good. Just let me say this. I'm Hugh Hamilton. I was not on Mr. DiRienzo's show. I don't know what Mr. DiRienzo discussed, but you give us a call at 212-209-2800. We'll direct you to the appropriate department, and we'd be more than happy to address any additional concerns you might have. At 34 after the hour, good afternoon. You are on the air, Understanding Media, with Utrecht Lead. You're on. Hello? Hello, good afternoon. Okay, well, we missed that one. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air.
Oh, hi, Hugh.
Hi.
I just had a question.
Okay.
I was wondering how...
whom am I speaking?
This is Diane from Brooklyn.
Yes, Diane.
I was wondering how Utrecht is going to determine who the listenership is if she doesn't really listen to us anymore.
Well, I'm right here, and it's curious that you would say, hello, Hugh, and then insist, I don't listen to you anymore. But it's duly noted. And again, I take umbrage at that, but that would elevate, actually, my reaction to you. I think it is clear from the tone of this call, Diane has come to particular conclusions. And I want to address those conclusions because, you know, if people are interested in really getting into dialogues, you know, I don't react well to this kind of cynicism. I don't react well to this kind of, you know, the backdoor insults and stuff like that. It's not mature. It's really not mature conversation. I will tell you, Diane, that everybody who has asked in a very polite way, and it must be polite, to have a discussion with me, I have accommodated. People who come at me or to me with attitudinal problems, first I recommend that they get adjusted someplace and then you can talk to me. I have never, ever in my life accommodated anyone who comes to me, whether in this position or any other position, in a spirit of negativity, or who is unmanageably rude, who is not at all schooled in some of the procedures that should be followed. Just plain, regular, ordinary manners. Good manners really are important. So when people exhibit bad manners, I tend not to pay very much attention to them. Perhaps this is what led you to your conclusion.
Utrecht, given the given all of the events of the past several months and all that, and we did explore some of those events yesterday, do you at any time feel beleaguered by
all
this?
Not at all. No.
How so?
Well, I understand things in context, and that is because I put a great deal of energy into analyzing a situation. I don't take it personally. You asked me yesterday whether I take any of this personally. I don't. I understand that for the large, for the great part of this, the great, the larger percentage of this whole turmoil, I know exactly where it originates. I know the locus of it. I know the epicenter of it. I know it very well. So I understand the, you know, the layers of expression, and I expect it. Knowing as I do the intimate details of the location of this discontent, I understand a lot more about how it will express itself. So none of this surprises me. What surprises me more than anything, if I could say that, is the brazenness of it all and the lack of conscience about it. But I ascribe that to what I talked about before as an expression of cultural imperialism. I understand that concept very well. I've been taught very well by people like Dr. Clark and Kwame Ture and Amos Wilson and others. I understand strategy. I understand how people are thinking out there. So, and I've experienced a lot of this. I've experienced it, and you have, and most people of color have. We experienced these in our everyday lives, you know, the indignities that commonly are visited upon us. I understand that. So I don't take it personally at all. So I don't feel beleaguered. I understand our studios are embattled. And I'm a little worried about those embattled studios, but I'm sitting quite here. It doesn't seem, you know, particularly embattled at the moment. So it has more to do with the individual and not with reality. Some individuals think that they are in charge of reality. They believe themselves to be so powerful as to actually define reality. And their lives and their life stories is about validating that notion that they assume. This is the kind of supremacist thinking. You know, I think, therefore, I rule.
Well, I wish I could attempt the Latin translation, but I'm too old now for that.
Cogito ergo regno.
Regno.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. I'm still stuck in. 39 after the hour. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you're on the air with Utrecht Lead, Understanding Media. You're on.
Yes, I sent, Utrecht, I sent you a check April 4th for $10.
Citizen. Hold a second. What? To whom am I speaking, sir?
My name is George from Manhattan.
George from Manhattan.
Hi, George.
I am Hugh. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Go ahead, George.
All right. I sent the station and a note to you, Utrecht Lead, on April 4th for $10 senior citizen contribution because I was thrilled with the changes that were being made at the station. I wonder if you ever received a check because I did not receive the canceled check yet.
Oh, boy. I will have
to check on this.
Pardon me?
I will have to check on this, George.
Yeah, I wish you would because I also thought that it's possible that you have such a backlog of mail, you know, that you never even saw it. I don't. That was, you know, one of my.
You're being kind to describe it as a backlog. Yeah, well, it's possible, but I will check.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you so much, George. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air with Utrecht Lead.
Hi, yes. Hello. Hi, both of you.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Lisa in Brooklyn.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Lisa.
Hi. And I definitely agree that the truth is important. So in that light, I was wondering why you don't agree to have a debate on the issues on the air. I mean,
you who? Are you talking to me?
Well, I'm talking to Ms. Leed and
yes.
also to you.
Okay.
I think it would be great to have a debate because Ms. Leed and yourself and people that basically support what you're doing at the station have had had many times to explain why you think what you're doing is important and the right thing to do. But I know there are a lot of other people that have another opinion.
Okay.
And so since you believe in truth and the intelligence of the listenership, then why don't you allow both sides to be heard
okay.
and let people come to their own opinion?
Sure.
Lisa, a debate between or among whom?
Well, you keep referring to these other people. And
well, to which other people?
Well, some of the people that were fired and banned, I would suggest.
So you would like to hear a debate between or among whom?
Let's say the people that have been fired and banned and the management of WBAI, the current management.
Now, let me ask you this, and I'm going to refer this, of course, to you, Trees, but
mm-hmm.
let me ask you this. Has it been your experience that in situations where there is an internal adjustment of personnel policy,
mm-hmm.
that it is common practice for such a discussion to be held between or among the persons who are, on the one hand, no longer associated with the institution, and those, on the other hand, who are? Has it been your experience?
Well, I think in corporate media, but as we say...
No, no experience, period. I'm not talking about corporate
anytime
media.
If I've
anywhere,
been part,
anywhere
okay,
at all.
Yes, then I guess. If there's a disagreement in an organization, we have a meeting, usually, and we discuss the issues. And since this is, free speech radio, then my understanding was it would be done so that everybody can hear both sides.
And it is your experience that this has happened when you've had these internal discussions, as you described them, mm-hmm. that this has been broadcast for the general consumption of the public?
Well, because the people at the management of the station now are on the air all the time stating their opinions, I think because we believe in the intelligence of the listenership that we then need to allow everybody to hear both sides.
So by what means do you then obtain your information on the, quote, other side?
I've listened to the radio station, and I listened to the radio station before everybody was banned and fired,
so
I heard some of the other opinions.
So you're
and
saying...
And then I also have tried to look on the Internet for things. But as you say, you know, what I need to hear is an open discussion of the issues. Like, I know people have said, oh, you can't believe everything you see on the Internet. Well, then now I want to hear both sides on the air so both sides can state this, I think this, and the other side can say I think this, and this is the way it is, and this is the way... So I can hear an open discussion.
Okay.
I don't want to just believe what I hear on the Internet.
Okay, so Lisa, if I understand you correctly, before I refer this to you, Therese,
mm-hmm.
if I understand you correctly... it is not that you are bereft of information from both sides. It is that you would like to determine the medium through which this information is delivered to you. So on the you have obtained information here on this radio station and from other sources, but you would like to determine the particular medium through which you are able...
Everybody doesn't have access to the Internet.
No, I understand. No, mm-hmm. we're talking about you, Lisa. So you would like to define a particular medium, whether it is this radio station, the newspapers, the Internet, wherever, through which you are able to obtain the information, this discussion that you would like to have. Am I correct? Yes or no?
Because this is WBAI radio.
Yes, I
understand.
Yes or no?
On the radio. Yes.
Lisa, yes or no? Yes.
Yes, I believe it should be on the radio.
Let me now refer your call to Utrecht Lead.
Okay.
Before we move on.
Right.
Ms. Lead.
Well, a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks have an idea that they'd like to see a public brawl. I'm not interested in that.
Oh, I definitely agree. It shouldn't be that.
Well, it has been that. And it has been one-sidedly negative. And I do not wish ever, because I do not live my life that way. Some people are comfortable having their guts hang out. I'm not interested in that. I do not behave that way in my personal life. I will not behave that way in my professional life. On another plain, it's like this. Essentially, some people enjoy even the promise of a spectacle. It's an age-old spectacle, but it comes loaded with political meaning for me. And that is, the spectacle of a black man and a black woman duking it out in public. I will not give anyone that kind of perverse entertainment. It will not happen. Thirdly, I wish to remind you, Lisa, and everybody else wanting this kind of perverse gladiatorial clash, that in the entire Pacifica system of hundreds and hundreds of employees, to suggest that the firing or the termination of three individuals of an entire system necessarily means that the system is wrong, means that you're not a thinking person. If in an entire system, three people's firing means automatically that something is wrong, then you need to look at that. And if it is the opinion of these individuals and others that in the world of issues that must be looked at on this radio station, that the so-called fired, the issues of the fired and the banned must consume inordinate attention, when we have children in the city of New York who are subjected to educational genocide, when we have a healthcare system that is literally, now there you're talking about embattled, that's an embattled system. When you have people in Africa dying literally by the hundreds every day and thousands every day, when you have an administration that really needs to be explained and understood by people who are oppressed by it, if you're suggesting to me that the issues surrounding the so-called fired and the banned must take precedence, I'm suggesting to you that there's a distortion in the level of importance. I will go further. Simply because someone has decided that it is important, again, I go back to the notion of who gets to define reality. Simply because
we do not have all afternoon here.
I'm going to answer this because it's a very important question, and it has to be very, very comprehensively answered. Simply because some one person or group of individuals have come with the notion that people have been fired and banned, but you are not told that they have redress. It is very important to note that even the so-called fired and banned have redress. They have redress. And they should seek redress within the structure that is already there. The reason people want to have to export this internal battle is itself evidence of the disregard, if not open contempt, some people have for democratic processes that exist internally. If you have a problem internally, it's just like your home life, but again, some people have really distorted home lives, very troubled home lives. So, in effect, they mimic professionally how they live privately. If you live with some degree of order in your own personal life, you will know that it is considered really very embarrassing to want to discuss with the entire world the reasons that you were fired. If, for example, you were fired because you are an idiot, do you really want the world to know that? If you were fired because you stink, let's say, do you want the whole world to know that that's why you were fired? That you refuse to take a bath for year after year after year, and therefore your fellow workers decided that it was time for you to go? I stink, therefore I am. Do you need people to know that you were fired? Let's say if you were incompetent, does the whole world need to know that? Or let's say you were fired because you were caught stealing something. Does the whole world need to know that? I am embarrassed for people who want the whole world to know why it is they were fired. I think it is a shame, but, you know, to each his own.
Okay, I'm going to take one more call, a 30-second call and a one-minute answer, because I'm told by the station's chief announcer that I have to be out of here in 3 minutes and
That's
12
right.
seconds.
Okay.
Good afternoon. This is Talk Back here on the air. You've got the last call. Go ahead.
Hi, Hugh. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it fast. I called a few months ago during the report to the listener, and I asked if there was a tally on actual collections from the February fundraiser. And at the time, Utrecht said that there hadn't been a final tally. They were still working it out.
Yes.
I was wondering if you now have a final number on the actual collections.
Yes.
Okay. And your name is?
Yes, we do.
I'm John from Manhattan.
Yes, we do.
John from Manhattan. Okay, John.
We have a final tally.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
What would that be?
It would be my business.
Well, we're contributors to the station.
Sure. Again, we made the point yesterday. We are listener-supported, not listener-managed. We've met our goal. And we thank you.
Thank you very much, John. It's 52 minutes now after the hour. Utrecht, in the remaining 2 minutes or so,
yes.
I'm going to have to ask you two more things. Now, this afternoon we had a discussion on understanding media,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was rather enlightening. Rather, the fact that you're also the general manager here, nevertheless,
interim.
Well, nevertheless, seems to engage the attention, inordinate attention of those people who choose to call. And I appreciate the fact that they do call, because they are listeners, and we appreciate their continued support and their encouragement and their listenership. I'm going to have to ask you, therefore, whether you'd be available tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Can we do this tomorrow again?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So tomorrow we'll have the
what
third.
What did I say? Anyone who approaches me kindly and lovingly and with great affection, I can't help myself. I respond absolutely positively to.
Okay, wonderful. So tomorrow in the afternoon at 3 o'clock,
yes.
I will expect to find you here.
Yes, sir.
And now, I asked you yesterday, and at about 3 minutes to 3 o'clock, when I looked in at your assistant's office, he said to me, "She's somewhere, but she'll be there." And
yes.
You did show up at 3 o'clock.
I'm somewhere, okay, and I'll be here.
Okay, fine. Well, look, this has been another interesting discussion this afternoon.
Thank you
the
very
engineer
much,
has been Maria England. Good afternoon, and thank you very much, Maria. And also, Paul Williams has been in and about. Thank you very much, Paul. And Utrecht Lead, I'll see you again tomorrow. Okay? You'll be here again. I am Hugh Hamilton. This has been the Tuesday edition of the program Talk Back. We'll be here again tomorrow in the afternoon at 3 o'clock when we'll do this all over again. As the good Lord willing, and the creek
don't rise.
program coming up is Behind the News with Barbara Nimri Aziz. Please stay tuned. You're listening to community, listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio, WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. Please stay tuned for Barbara Nimri Aziz and Behind the News.
My name is Lambert Marksman. I'm a volunteer here at WBAI, and I do a little bit of everything.
And this is Richard Antones, and I work in development.
We want to thank the volunteers so very much for helping to support this station during our recent pledge drive.
We know it wasn't always easy, and that's all the more reason we want to let you know how much we appreciate your help.
It gives me great pleasure to see people so devoted in making this drive possible. We really learn to appreciate you, and we know how important you are as volunteers to this station.
So feel free to reach over your left shoulders and give yourselves one pat on the back.
And please send in your pledge.